Welcome to Girls That Invest, the platform that empowers millennials through financial literacy. You're joined today by your hosts, Sim and Sonia, two millennial investors who are extremely passionate about all things investing and personal finance. How are you going today, Sim?
I am going well. So I had a meeting today with a mortgage advisor and she had the most beautiful eyeliner. Like, that eyeliner was winged so well. And like, I obviously was listening to what she had to say, and like, shout out to her, like, amazing, so helpful. But it her eyeliner was so good, Sonia. I went home, this was after work, so I went home at like 6:30. And I just put on eyeliner. I was like, I want to be here.
What's happening here? Did you learn anything at all? Or were you just...
Of course. Anyways, enough about my... Well, can you see my eyeliner right now? Like, you didn't even say anything about it.
I can't see anything. I'm so sorry.
Like that little wing?
Oh, wow. Revolutionary style. You look great, sweetie. Look, maybe the reason that I feel like that is a tiny wing is because I spent the weekend with drag queens. Is my friend Ari's fundraiser for the Miss New Zealand pageant, and it was absolutely amazing. Such a laugh. So if some lingo slips out,
like what?
Yasmin.
Someone cutting you would say.
I'm so sorry. I apologize in advance. Please don't switch off. What are we talking about today, Simran?
Before anyone goes, we are talking about ethical investing. Ethical investing is what it sounds like. It's the idea that you invest money in things that are ethical to you and align with what's important to you. Now, in very like, you know, proper terms, ethical investing is the practice of selecting investments based on your ethical or moral principles. But in common terms, it just means drawing the line with what's comfortable with you and choosing what companies you want to invest in and where you say, you know what, I don't believe in that and I'm not going to put my money there. So for example, there's common things like the tobacco industry or alcohol or gambling. But, you know, it can be whatever you want it to be. It can be, you know, a percentage of carbon emissions that you're not comfortable with. It can be a company that handled a really poor sexual misconduct case within their company and you're just not happy with that. So it really is person by person, but it's pretty interesting as a topic.
Yeah, no, I thought this was an important thing to talk about because I'm going to put my hand up. I wasn't always a believer in ethical investing. I just didn't know it was a thing.
The scandal.
And do you know what the worst part of it all was? What? Your girl did no research. This mindset, or my thoughts on ethical investing, it came from other people's thoughts or what other people were saying. I didn't really look into it, and I don't know why before making my mind up about investing in ethics, but I'm really excited to talk about it in more detail.
When you say like other people's opinions, like what were they saying?
Literally, there's no such thing as ethical investing. Point blank period. And I was just like, you know what, sweetie, you're right.
You were like, you know what, I literally have no other way to know, so sure.
Yeah, it's not like the internet exists, and it's not like books exist, and it's not like I could have gotten knowledge from
a podcast.
Yeah, a podcast, for example. I just decided to take their word for it, which is not smart, kids. Don't do that. Read into it. Do your research.
So the old train of thought was that ethical investing was kind of like for people that were like soft or like millennials. Like, why on earth would you want to invest in things that were like good for the environment or like mattered to you? And that's kind of how it used to be seen. And I think it would be fair to say that there might be some like older investors out there that might still feel that way. But in 2019, the New Zealand Responsible Investment Survey found that 83% of people expected, not like hoped, not like would like, expected that their investments should be invested ethically. That was actually a lot higher than I thought it would be. What would you have thought?
Do you know what? I'm not actually entirely surprised, but I feel like we're in a day and age where people just naturally think a little bit more. Like, all over social media, people are like, I'm going to support Ben and Jerry's and not Dolls Kill because of, like, you know, social justice and stuff. I feel like we just think a little bit more. Even there are people who spent hours on lists, on, like, threads on where you can shop books instead of shopping on Amazon. Like, you know, we just put a little bit more, like, time and effort and thought into things. Maybe not just millennials, but I guess just people in general now. I feel like there's a shift.
Oh, I definitely see that shift. And you'll see more, like we were kind of talking in our last podcast, just more like intentional spending and intentional consumption. And like, why should investing be any different? You know, like why can't we have the option to invest in a way that makes us more comfortable? And what I love about this podcast in particular and about the topic of ethical investing is you get to choose and support and pour money into the companies that align with your values. Like, if you were like, you know what's really important to me? Women in leadership or sustainable practices. You almost get like an extra voice outside of, you know, your government elections and your local communities. It's like one extra way to push forward for change, and I think it's really neat.
So Sim, I guess the best place to start is at the beginning. Why don't we run down, I guess, the history? Like, what's the story behind ethical investing?
So ethical investing has been around for, I mean, as long as investing has existed, but the momentum really sort of kick-started back in 2010, where there was this radiation oncologist in Australia. And for those that don't know what radiation oncologists are, it just means cancer doctors who treat the cancers through radiation. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest carcinogens or cancer-causing things is tobacco. And so this doctor was out for coffee with their fund manager for their retirement fund, and it kind of came up in casual conversation about what her money was being invested in. Also, if you thought this doctor was a male, like, that says something about you right now. So what she ended up finding out, which completely, like, blindsided her, was that she was investing in tobacco companies, yet going to work every day telling people about the effects of cancer and treating it. And I mean, it was such a parallel, or just like complete polar opposites of like what she was doing and where her hard-earned money was going. What she did, and she's like such a badass woman about this, she started she literally became the founder of a company called Tobacco Free Portfolios. And this is for like all those people out there that are like, what can one person do? This woman helped redirect $6 billion of investments from the tobacco industry and yeeted it away to other industries in the last 5 years. Like $6 billion, one woman.
I think that's the thing, like people don't realize how, just from speaking out on that one issue, how much power she had. I mean, $6 billion worth of investments. Sweetie, you're doing great.
You're doing real great. And so obviously, like, we're not out here saying if you realize you're investing in the wrong thing, you need to start up a company about it. But by all means, if you are investing or if you have a retirement fund like this doctor did, definitely look into like where that money's going. And for everyone, it's a different step that they take. For you, it might just be changing out of that fund and going into something that aligns with your goals. That's still a big step. Anyway, moving on from my little like girl crush / rant about this amazing woman. Oh, I forgot to say what her name is.
Dr. King.
She is the incredible Dr. Bronwyn King in Australia.
So how do we actually analyze how ethical a company is? There's this great thing called ESGs. Now, ESGs are essentially the standard criteria that you consider when you're trying to figure out the ethics of a company. And it is an acronym, so The E stands for environmental, the S stands for social, and the G stands for governance. Essentially, each of these acronyms, they relate to different issues, shall we say. For example, environmental, that can be water pollution, it can be climate change, it can be...
it can be BP, like, literally. Do you remember that time BP accidentally, like, their ship just, like, hit something and just... Do you not remember? And
then, I do remember that.
Like, years ago, and then all this oil just went into, like, the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes. See, what she said, that's also an example. Social, so how companies treat their employees. So fair wages, how they treat their suppliers, if they're multinational companies, so companies that operate not only in their own country but overseas as well, like how are they paying between country to country. And then you've got your governance. So governance is corporate governance, corporate behavior. For example, Sim and I were talking about this earlier today, and it's how a company responds to a certain issue. Maybe it is that there's a sexual assault allegation within the company. Like, how do they handle that? Realistically speaking, it might be a little bit hard to find a company that fully ticks all the ESG boxes, and that's why it's a good idea to carve out what values are important to you and what's non-negotiable to you. And, you know, what are your values? For example, do you value social responsibility, so maybe fair wages, over some environmental issues or vice versa? Do you care about the diversity of leadership over a company, over animal testing, for example? Does that make sense, Sim?
That definitely makes sense. I'm going to be a little bit nosy, Sonia, and ask, what is something that you, at this current stage, like, what would be something that you just draw the line in and you'd be like, I would not invest in a company if they had X?
Oh, that is a really good question. Off the top of my head, the first thing that came into my mind was treatment of employees. So fair wages, like how they actually, like holiday time, like sick leave, insurance, like what other benefits do they get from being an employee with you? Because I like the idea that you take care of your own first. Yeah, that's the... How about you?
It would be warfare. Like, I just have such strong opinions on war, and I just think it is, like, so pointless. And like, I invest a lot of money into the US stock market, and if you look at how much money the US spends on their military, like, I'm not even, like, trying to be candid here. It's disgusting. It is, like, in the trillions. And yet there are so many other aspects of life in the US that are so underfunded. And so, yeah, I just don't think they need my money. Full stop. Back to that 2019 New Zealand Responsible Investment Survey. They have some really neat data there. And knowing me, knowing how much of a nerd I am and how much I love numbers, I was having a look. And you know what? In New Zealand, 85% of people are on the same page as us, and they would not invest in weapons and firearms. It was quite interesting what other things, you know, we as New Zealanders were sort of, you know, wanting to draw the line on. 93% said that they would want their investments to avoid human rights violations. Personally, I just want to know what the 7% were that were like, you know what, human rights violations? It happens. I'd invest in that.
Human rights violations? I don't know her. I'm just turning a blind eye to the suffering of humans.
Do you think they just, like, didn't read the question?
They accidentally clicked the no. Bro, how can you do that?
I just, like, here we... You know what? I say that we are very unbiased, and let's keep it that way, but just that one point, just that one.
You know what, to my point before, you really just got to analyze your values and how important certain values are to you. And sometimes that means you have to prioritize.
Prioritize not caring about human rights violations.
Prioritize caring about some things more than others. Don't put this in here.
I am going to put this in. And then there were some other really interesting facts too. For example, testing on animals for non-medical reasons. So, for example, cosmetics, 86% of New Zealanders were like, nah, I'm not okay with that. And then the least important in terms of all the options was meat and meat products. And only 37% of people said that they would not invest in that industry, which is... I mean, it's an interesting stat.
To be honest, our dairy and meat exports are probably the biggest like export.
At the New Zealand like top by market cap, so by the size of the company in terms of how much stock they have and how much those stocks are worth, one of our biggest companies are like A2 Milk and Fonterra and companies that export out dairy. So,
So if we're thinking about it, are ethical investments bad investments in terms of stock market performance?
Why would you think that they'd be bad?
I think it's a common misconception. People always think if you're a little bit more socially responsible, or in this case, if we're investing ethically, it must mean there has to be a consequence somewhere, you know?
Like and a give or take.
Yeah, it's almost like a give or take situation in this case with investing. It might be return.
Let me say this, and I just want to be really clear about this. Your financial returns and your social returns do not have to be mutually exclusive. You can be intentional and still have the opportunity to earn a competitive market return as a ethical investor, whatever that may mean to you. So I don't want to make a claim like that without backing it up with some hardcore facts. So Morningstar, a global research agency, came up with some really interesting data, and they looked over hundreds, if not thousands, of funds and compared their ethical funds or ethical funds out there with funds that were similar but still kept in those non-ethical sort of companies, for example, tobacco companies. And do you know what they found? Whether it was in bonds or shares, whether it was in companies in the UK or overseas, the ethical-based companies and funds outperformed or made as much returns as the non-ethical ones. I know that back in the day, this wasn't always the case, and that's probably where that misconception comes from, but it is outdated. And just to chuck in some more recent evidence, during the coronavirus crisis, social good funds outperformed all but in one category compared to other funds. So I think that it is really worth noting that you don't have to give up making good investments based on making choices that align with your goals, which is great. Like, what a time to be alive where you can do both.
Yeah, I mean, that just completely squashes that perception of, oh, if you're investing ethically, like, your stocks must not be doing good. She's come here with facts, sis.
She's come here with a lot of research. Come,
yeah, with research.
Research.
Also, we should do a bloopers episode.
Yes, but we've always deleted all.
Oh, yeah. No, we still have our raw file.
Oh, my God, we do. I want to keep the part where you say, Mom, I'm podcasting. All right, moving on from Sonia's relationship with her mother. One thing that I wanted to add, and I think this is really important to make a distinction between, is that when you want to support an ESG, when you buy a stock of that company, you are not giving the company money directly in the same way that you would if you, for example, bought a product off them and then they got the profit. What you do when you are buying and selling shares is you're buying and selling it with other investors. So that company is not getting the money directly, but what you are doing is increasing the market capitalization, which is the value of the company, based on its share price. So for example, when you hear on the news like Mark Zuckerberg is worth like $300 billion, then that's based off all the stocks of the company that he owns is worth. So that's what you're helping to increase. And that's not to say that you're not making a difference, because you are, but it's really important to know how you're making that difference.
Mm.
So we've talked about what ethical investing is. We've talked about, you know, exactly how to determine what is important to you and a little bit of the history behind it. But how do you actually go about doing it? Like, when you leave this episode, how do you go away being able to make change?
It's a good question. There's three different ways. One way off the bat is by buying individual stocks. It's a little bit more grunt work because you do need to put research into each company that you're buying, looking through the sustainability reports of that company. Because with the ESG criteria that I mentioned before, every company has a rating. So one of the easiest ways to figure out what rating or what ESG rating a company has is by typing in the company name and going to Yahoo Finance and going onto sustainability. So they have a separate tab on Yahoo Finance for sustainability, and a whole bunch of issues come up on the right side, and you can see if that company dabbles in animal testing, for example.
So as you were talking, Sonia, because I actually haven't done this before, so this is pretty cool. So I'm on Yahoo Finance. Mm-hmm. I feel like Yahoo Finance is very underrated.
Yeah, like, please go download the app. It's so good.
I just feel like Yahoo died, and the only thing that's like holding it together is its finance platform. We love you, Yahoo. Anyway, so I've just typed in Tesla, for example, and then it's just come up with like all the different things about it, like its conversions, its stats. So looking here, it's got its environmental, social, and governance rating risks, and then it's got like a very cute little like graph on terms of how controversial it is, out of like none to severe, 1 to 5. And take a guess at what Tesla would be in terms of controversial.
5.
It's only a 3.
I'm surprised.
I'm surprised as well. And then it's got its risk in terms of environmental, in terms of social, and in terms of governance. And so I think that's actually pretty cool. I had no idea about this. It just makes it easier.
The actual ESG score is the little thing right above the controversy level. So if you look at 24/33rd percentile, and it has like a total ESG risk score. That's what it is. I'm not looking at Tesla though. I'm looking at Apple. Yeah, so you can find out their rating on Yahoo Finance. Best yet, if you scroll down, so I'm just looking at Apple at the moment. If you scroll down and go, I guess, to the right-hand side, there's a whole bunch of, I guess, more popular taboo topics. And it's a yes or no answer if they're involved in these products or activities. For example, Apple doesn't have any products involvement in gambling, in tobacco products, in animal testing, in fur and specialty leather. And there's a whole bunch of issues that you can see there. And if some have ticked yes and that doesn't align with your values, well, you know to move on to the next one.
Except for that like 7% that are like human rights violations. That's a yes for me.
I'm not talking to the 7%. I do want to have a conversation with them, though.
So what other ways are there? Because that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so another way is by just going directly into an ETF or mutual funds. So again, we've talked about this in previous podcasts. So ETFs and mutual funds, they're probably the easiest way to diversify your stock portfolio, if you will. But there are dedicated ETFs or mutual funds to particular issues. For example, there is a ETF called SHE, and essentially it prioritizes gender diversity and women leadership. So getting the fund description, if you will, SHE tracks a market cap weighted index of US large cap companies with a relatively high proportion of women in executive and director positions. Going back to the values that I was talking about, if women leadership or gender diversity was an important value for you, you'd look into this. That sounds like a great fund, don't you think?
It's very cool. So there's ETFs and mutual funds. I've heard that Vanguard, for those that don't know what Vanguard is, it's like a extremely large, extremely well-known company that creates a lot of index funds and ETFs. And mm-hmm. being just like this good company that they are, they also have a few sort of socially good funds. Is that what they have?
Yeah, so they have a few different types of ESGs. I keep referring to it ECGs. I really don't know why. I'm so sorry.
Most of the things that we talk about are fundamentally similar across different countries. And we do sometimes get questions like, hey, I'm not in New Zealand. I just want to know if what you talk about is applicable to me. And the answer is yes, investing, at least the fundamentals of investing, is very similar. But I do just want to add this little Kiwi website called Mindful Money. It's an independent website. And if you are interested in where your KiwiSaver money is going, so for example, if you aren't too sure where your retirement fund is being invested in, Mindful Money does a really good job of showing you exactly where, you know, your money is going, whether that be weapons or fossil fuels or gambling. And then it also helps you choose an ethical fund that aligns with your values. Now, this isn't a sponsor. I just thought it was quite neat to know what was available.
So what have we covered today? I feel like we've done a bit. So Sim did go through a brief history in terms of how ethical investing came about.
And sort of just fangirled over Dr. King for a good like 5 minutes.
Fair enough. I'd fangirl over her. She's done some good work. And then we went through ESGs and what they stand for. I guess the main point I'm trying to get across is that you really do need to carve out some time to figure out what's important to you. Do you think that it is hard to find, just say you have like two priorities, do you think it's hard to find companies that kind of check all the boxes?
Well, this is how I see it. Just say you care about women in leadership and you care about the environment. You don't have to just invest in companies that do both. You can invest in companies that do one and other companies that do the other, because in a perfect world, all companies would have great ESG ratings and just, you know, these would be the topics like climate change and equality. They would be the forefront of the running of these, you know, industries. But let's be honest, that's not the case yet. And so I don't think it's fair, at least in my opinion, to expect every company to be perfect. But by all means, you can have the choice to pick companies that are doing well in one of the sectors you really care about and another in another sector that you really care about. So before we head off again, we just wanted to say a huge shout out to everyone that has been so supportive of our podcast. If you want to keep in touch, please check out our Facebook group, Girls That Invest, or our Instagram with the same name. We love to keep in contact with you guys. We love hearing all your feedback. So just before we head off, just our little disclaimer, Girls That Invest does not provide investing advice for your individual needs. We are not financial advisors, and the advice on Girls That Invest exists for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon to make an investing or financial decision. Advice from Girls That Invest is general in nature and does not consider your individual circumstances. Always do your research and please use your due diligence.
Till next time, team.
Till next time. See you Tuesday.
Bye.